today's webinar open mic, and today's topic is CICS, VSAM, Threat Safety. My name is Elijah Robertson. In the process of today's call, we'll allow you to speak with our panel of experts. And before we start today, we'll also give you an overview of CICS, VSAM, Threat Safety. My panelists will consist of Di Middleton. Di joined IBM in 1981, having previously been a mainframe application program for 3 years. Colin Penfold has worked in IBM for 25 years. He has the last 16 in CICS development at Hurley. Martin Cox has worked at IBM for 6 years and been a part of the CICS transaction server development team for the last 5 years. Ed Addison has been with IBM for 20 years, supporting customer VSAM and CICS. Edward is a presenter at the Impact Conference and Share. Larry Law and Maya Pena are both VSAM developers. We will begin today's call with questions and answers. But first, we would like to give you an overview of exactly what VSAM Threat Safety is. So I'll turn the presentation over to Colin Penfold.
Okay, thank you, Elijah. Well, as Elijah said, this session is about threat safety for file control. First, to start off with, I'd like to give just a brief explanation of what we mean by threat safety in this context. Application programs can be defined with the option concurrency thread safe, and this means that the application code itself is capable of running on multiple TCBs, not just on the Kix QR TCB, but also on the new open TCBs, the L8, L9, J8, J9, etc. However, not all Kix code can run on open TCBs. Some of the original Kix design made assumptions for performance reasons about all Kix application code running on a single TCB. And similarly, the other subsystems that we've interfaced with, many of them have also made similar assumptions. And such code, which has to run on a single TCB, is deemed to be not thread-safe. When exec Kix functions are not thread-safe, Kix switches over to the QR TCB in order to execute these functions safely. Now, thread-safe programs, which are those defined with OpenAPI or Kix API, as additional options to the concurrency thread-safe. In the case of an open API program, the program starts on one of these new open TCBs. If it encounters a non-thread-safe Kix function, the function will switch over to the QR TCB to execute the Kix function and then return back to the open TCB at the end. In the case of programs that are defined with Kix API, they start off on the QR TCB and only switch over to the open TCB if they execute a DB2 request. They will then stay on the open TCB unless they have to execute something non-thread safe. So that's just really a basic overview of what we mean by thread safe. But the main thing about this talk is, or this Q&A session, is about thread safety for file control local VSAM. At GA in Kix TS 3.2, we enabled thread safety for files that were defined as RLS files. Files defined in this way could run all of the API requests and the inquire SPI request on open TCBs. No changes were made to RLS to enable this, so it was made available on all the ZOS levels that are supported by Kix TS 3.2, which means ZOS 1.9 onwards. But that was just for RLS files. In the recent APAR PK45354 in Kix TS 3.2, we're now enabling thread safety for LSR files defined as local VSAM files, for those files that you run on AORs. This, in order to enable this, VSAM have also provided an enabling APAR for their subsystem, which is APAR OA20352. This is available on ZOS 1.9, and so to get local VSAM thread safety, you have to have ZOS 1.9 with the APAR installed. Now, one other thing, which many of you would have already seen this information in the APAR, but there's some late-breaking news about the APAR. Originally, in the APAR, we documented that transactions using transaction isolation couldn't run thread-safe file control requests. This was, in fact, not correct. The Info Center is going to be updated this week, and we've got a new APAR PK69604, which will formally document this change. So transaction isolation is something that is supported by local VSAM thread safety. So that's a basic overview of what we're providing. I'll pass things over to Elijah for the questions that we received earlier.
Hey, thank you, Colin. We will begin our question and answer portion of today's call. They want to ask the customer to call in to please limit your introductions with the panel to just first and last name. My first question is today, was pre-submitted to our panelists, is what are the benefits of using VSAM ThreadSafe? For example, can I expect significant improvements in CSCS performance?
I'll pass that one over to Martin Fox to answer.
Yes, you can expect some significant performance benefits. One of the benefits of VSAM ThreadSafe is to allow file control requests against local VSAM files to be run concurrently. This will improve performance by increasing the throughput of your transactions. Secondly, for programs which mix local VSAM file control requests with DB2 requests, the CPU usage is lowered because switching to the QRCPV for the file control request is no longer required. One thing to note about performance gains is that these will vary depending on your software configurations and the hardware that you're running the software on. Okay, Colin?
Okay, Elijah?
All right. The question two is what type of effort does it take to switch over to VSAM ThreadSafe? And is there a switch to turn it on and off in a CSCS region in case I run into problems?
Okay, I'll take that one. There's two sides to this. First of all, the application side and the system programming side. Firstly, the application side. This is just sort of standard things that you have for making anything ThreadSafe. But something that one should have a look at, any application programs that you're using that you want to use as ThreadSafe that use file control requests, these have to be defined with concurrency ThreadSafe and as Kix API or Open API. If you're wanting to run ThreadSafe and you haven't got DB2 applications, then make sure that these things are defined as Open API. There's a lot of information about this in the Red Book, ThreadSafe considerations for Kix, which is worth looking at. Secondly, the more important thing related to this APAR is how do we use thread safety in file control. In order to use file control thread safety, you have to set a sit option, which is called FCQR only. You have to set that to no. And an important thing to note here is the APAR actually changes the default value. So it's something you have to look at on your systems to override by setting it to no either in your sit or in your sit overrides. If you're doing it in your sit, make sure you recompile your sits before you start the Kix AORs. So that's what you need to do to enable thread safety. If you run into problems, then either in VSAM or in RLS with thread safety, then you've got a fairly simple option of changing the override to yes for FCQR only. That makes all file control requests run only on the QRCPV. It will require, though, your AOR to be restarted in order to do that. Okay, that finishes that question, Elijah.
All right, the next question is there anything special I need to know if I'm using file-owning regions, better known as FORs? For example, will the CPU usage in the FORs increase?
Can I pass that one and the next questions over to Di?
Yeah. Okay, in the case of the FOR, what we need to remember is the fact that we function shipped from an AOR to the FOR, and that function shipping means that we must do it on the QRTCB. So by the time we get to the FOTCB, we will not be able to run ThreadSafe because we're already on QR. So from that point of view, there won't in fact be any real great change on the FOR with the APAR applied because we won't be able to run ThreadSafe. If you're running a pure FOR, you can actually improve the performance slightly if you do specify FCQR only equals yes. This effectively will turn off any thread safety logic within the file control main programs. I think that's probably it. Certainly you would not see any CPU increase simply because you're not running thread safe.
Can I add one thing?
Yeah.
On the region that's the OR that you're running this onto, where you've got your files defined as remote, obviously those ones are going to have to, as Di said, switch over to the QRTTB in order to function ship the request. So one of the things to have a look at on your systems, if you've got a lot of FORs defined and you want to make use of thread safety, consider whether the FOR could be replaced by an RLS defined file, because that will enable you to have thread safety.
True. Okay.
The next question. Most of my files are accessed by function shipping to FORs. What gain will I see with this PTF?
Okay, well, this is really the same answer as the previous question, in that, again, because we are function shipping, because we are running on QR, we will not see any thread safety gains from that.
All right. We'll move on to the next question. The PTF requires vSAM pull requests. What's the best way to roll those out across my region and into production?
Okay, yeah, that sounds like me again. Okay, well, the only consideration really are those running on ZOS 1.9. And here we have some vSAM maintenance that needs to be applied, that is OA 20352. Since this has to be applied before you can run with the local thread safety ability, I would suggest certainly that that is rolled out first all the way through the system before you consider then changing STQR only from yes to no and thereby enabling the thread safety option.
Okay. I'll move on to the next question. I'm using RLS. How will this affect me?
The only way that RLS is affected is if you're using the default value of STQR only in your SIP. RLS, as I said before, is already supports thread safety in 3.2, but the SIT option in the 3.2 release was set to STQR only equals no as the default value. Now it defaults to yes. So check your SIT option and make sure that it is set appropriately, is basically what I'm saying.
Okay. All right.
APAR won't affect the performance at all of the RLS.
All right. The next question is regards to APAR PK45354, entitled File Control Thread Safety Enabler for Local VSAM LSR Files. The question is it true that local VSAM plus LSR plus storage protection active equals TCB switch to QR even after applying the mentioned APAR? This means for our installation that we cannot use FC thread safety with CICS Transaction Server 3.2 and ZOS 1.9 because we're using storage protection. If this is true, what are the reasons for this behavior, and is IBM planning to change this?
Right, that's a rather complex question. Hopefully I've got this right. I'm going to answer it in a couple of parts to make sure that at least I've got two answers here, and one of which should be what was asked. Basically, storage protection is supported. However, it does require a vSAM change, which is only implemented on ZOS 1.9, and that's the APAR that Di's mentioned before, OA 2352. The reason for requiring this change is that occasionally vSAM requires some extra internal storage, for example, for CI splits. And it's necessary for vSAM to reject any request that it gets in our Storage Protect Key 9 and get KIX to reissue the request on the QRTCB. The reason I mention that is you can see this in the trace if you look hard enough. It doesn't actually affect the KIX specifications. Now, if that's the question about Storage Protect, so that is supported, There's also the question about transaction isolation, which, as I mentioned in my introduction, we may have misled people a little bit, but we are correct in here, is that transaction isolation is supported. Originally, in the original design, we thought we had to restrict support to systems which transaction isolation was switched off, in the same way that you can't use NSR files with transaction isolation in KIX. However, we have found a way to overcome that restriction, so transaction isolation is supported. And unfortunately, that documentation didn't make the APAR, but we're releasing another APAR to clarify that matter. And sometime next week, the information center on the Boulder site will be updated to describe that as a change. So basically, to summarize, storage protection and transaction isolation are supported. And as with the rest of the local VSAM ThreadSafe solution, it does require 1.9. So I hope I've answered that question, whoever asked it. If not, if they can clarify further the question, we'll have another go at answering it.
And with that, we have completed our pre-submitted portion of this call. Once again, I would like to reiterate to please leave your introductions to first name and last name to our panelists. And with that, Laura, we'd like to open the lines for our customers to call in to ask questions.
Question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please do so by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touch-tone telephone. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, please press star, then 1 on your touch-tone telephone to ask a question, and we'll pause a moment to assemble the queue. And we'll take our first question from Rusty Swift.
Hi, this is Rusty Swift, and we have run into several situations where in the PLT startup we're running into a problem with files not being available from the file-owning region. In the PLT, I'm just curious if SafeCar would help address that situation.
Okay, so the question is basically on PLT startup, there's a problem with recognizing the files?
Files are not yet available at the time that the PLT is actually invoked. Remote files are not available at the time the PLT is invoked.
Okay.
Ed, do you want to have a first thoughts on that?
Well, I don't think this is that. I don't think that's going. This change is going to affect anything that's going to be that early initialization.
Which PLT is this?
Which phase?
Which phase?
Rusty.
It's the last phase.
Oh, it's phase 3.
I would have thought all files were available in the last phase of PLT.
I would have thought so as well.
And the remote connection?
I think the connection should be there by then as well.
I'll go look real quick.
I'll just quickly bring up a system and then we're away. Rusty, what do you actually see? Is it a file not found or... Or do you get a transaction event?
We're a vendor, so I mean, we've got a lot of different customers running
right, okay.
our software. And the usual situation, I mean, we're trying to read some type of initialization record at that time, and it's getting, like a file not available or...
And these are all remote files, are they?
Yeah, they would be files defined in a remote region.
I'm looking here real quick.
I've got to say I can't think why that should fail. I mean, this is certainly nothing to do with the thread safety enabler, and therefore it's not going to change that at all.
Right.
So I would see this as a separate problem.
Well, Rusty, I got your email. What I'll do is I'll send you an email and we'll talk about this. This is at Addison.
Okay.
But the The answer is no. This change to file control thread safety would not make files available any earlier in PLT. But we'll talk about when files are available or remote files are available for PLT processing, okay?
Okay, appreciate it.
All right, thanks.
And we'll take our next question from Marcel or Amri.
Hello, Marcel here from Germany.
Yes, please ask your question.
Okay, just to make sure I got it correctly, what was stated before, it's about the statement that transaction isolation and storage protection is supported by ThreadSafe. So that means that an application program that runs with or is defined with execution key user will not have to be switched to a QRTCP if storage protection is switched on or transaction isolation is effective. That's true?
Colin Penfold here. Yes, that is correct. The transaction isolation is supported. You won't have to do the switch to the QR for transaction isolation. This is for LSR files.
Okay. I'm aware that it's not the subject of today's call or webcast, but just to make sure another issue, we do have a problem if we have storage protection switched on with applications that access DB2, correct?
You know about this?
I think because the DB2 attachment will always use a KIX key TCP and TH TCP, and if the application program uses execution key user, it has to run on something with number 9 TCP.
Right. Yes.
On the QR.
You will run DB2 when an SQL call is made. That has to be on an L8 TCP. And if the program is defined as user key, you will switch from the L8 TCP once the DB2 call is made. When we go back to the user program, we will have to switch to an L9 TCB.
So just apart from today's subject, there is some kind of mismatch or some kind of issue between user key programs that have access to DB2 and thread safety. That's correct.
Yes, but I think it's going to be the same way. What's going to happen now, if you're just talking file control, so there's no DB2 call or an MQ call to get you onto an L8 TCB to begin with. So you have to have your program be an open API to get you on a open TCB, and when you're in your code, that's still going to be on an L9 TCB. If you coded with user key. Now the call to VSAM, I think I would have to have one of the developers ask that if that has to be on an L8 TCB like it does for DB2.
An L8 or L9.
It could be on an L8 or L9. So you wouldn't have to switch to the L8 to make
wouldn't
it.
Wouldn't have to switch, no.
If you're on the L9 TCB, you would stay on the L9 TCB. But if you make
you will find that there is a very small number whereby we may have to switch to QR. But the vast majority will go through on the L8 or the L9.
Okay, so you don't have the overhead of switching between L8, L9 like you do with DB2 and user program.
No, we basically stay on the whatever TCB we're on unless there are exceptional reasons where VSAN requires additional storage, in which case we'll switch back to the QR. But in the vast majority, we stay where we are. That can be at L8 or L9.
All right. But again, this is all with LSR and not NSR, not non-shared resources.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Our next question comes from George Briggs.
Yes, I was wondering, now that you've got it for local vSAN, what anticipation do you make for providing it to FOR capabilities in the future? Because that would be where most of the work is done, I would guess, by most customers.
I think Di and I will take that one. is something that, obviously, in order to get it onto FORs, a precursor had to be, we had to make it available to AORs, because most of the work is done in that area. One of the difficulties that you've got with FORs is there are both sides that you have to consider, because you've got function shipping, which requires the AOR to switch to the QR to transmit, as well as the FOR to be running on the mirror transaction, which is also running on the QR. It is something we're investigating, but at the moment there are no specific plans which we have to say when we will be doing this or if it is going to be something that will be a saving. Is there anything else you want to add, Di, to that?
No, I mean, all the code on the FOR is active and will switch if we were coming in on an open TCB. But because the function shipping is all done on QR, the mirror task would always run under QR, and therefore the code in file control will not look to switch. But as you say, it is something that we are aware of, that this is one of the main areas that customers will be interested in. And so we will be looking to see if there are ways that we can actually enable this. But I think our biggest problem, and I don't think it's a problem that we're going to solve, is the function shipping will always be done on the QR TCB.
It will always be done on the function shipping QR TCB, provided the function shipping is done using the existing MRO process.
True.
There may be opportunities with the new mechanisms that were in 3.2, where we were using TCP/IP to do the transport. So there may be opportunities that can be investigated in that area.
But that's probably more of a long term.
Absolutely, it's more of a long term. It's not something that would be feasible to back migrate to 3.2. So this may be something for the future. But we are certainly aware of the customer requirement in this area. That answer the question?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
It does, but...
And we have no more questions at this time. I'll turn it back to you, Mr. Robertson.
Okay. Thanks, Laura. We are at the end of today's call regarding CICS vSAM Threat Safety. We hope we were very helpful with your questions today. We'd also like to thank the panel for joining the call today. Once again, I hope that today's call was very helpful to everyone. We hope that you will join us for future open mic calls, which can be found on our WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Thanks again for joining, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Goodbye.